Who is the devil and where did he come from? Does he have any power? If he does, where does he get it from? What are the wiles and schemes of the devil that the Bible keeps talking about? How much attention should we be giving the devil? If the devil is defeated, can't we just ignore him? In this series, we're going to the Word to find the answers to these very common questions and more. Hello and welcome to Faith Talks. I'm your host, Emily Preston, and in these podcasts, we will be discussing how to practically apply the principles found in the Word, or how to be a doer of the Word, so that you can start seeing more of the manifestation of God's grace in every area of your life. Hello everybody and welcome to Faith Talks, where we learn how to walk by faith through grace. Today is part 5 of my teaching, Know Thy Adversary. And what we're doing in this series of lessons is we are exposing the devil. We're exposing our enemy because, like it or not, guys, we have an enemy. And like it or not, we are still in a spiritual battle. Jesus has won the victory. He conquered the devil at the cross. He is a defeated foe. He has been stripped of all power and authority. And that power and authority has been handed back to man, back to us. But just because a war is over doesn't mean the enemy stops being the enemy. And the devil is our enemy, and he still roams like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, which indicates that there are people that he still may devour. But the good news is that God has given us so much information in his word about what his devices are, what his schemes are, what his strategies are, so that we don't have to be ignorant of them. There's nothing worse than not knowing where the enemy is going to attack from, not knowing what his strategies are, not knowing how he gets to us. But if we are aware of his schemes, if we're aware of his strategies and his tactics, then we can be prepared for them. We can meet them head on. We can resist them, and we can maintain the victory that Jesus obtained for us. So that's what we're doing in this series of teachings, is we are learning what the devil's tactics are, how he gets the advantage of people, how he gets power, what his schemes and strategies are, so that we know our adversary and know ourselves, and then we need not fear the result of 100 battles. So last week we talked about how the devil can't just go around destroying people at will and making a mess of their lives. He has to have a physical body cooperating with and submitting to him in order to accomplish anything in this earth or have his way with anybody. The devil can't just come in and possess someone. He can't just take up residence in a body and control it like a puppet. He has to have permission. He has to have a body submit to and cooperate with him in order to get away with anything. And he has to use wiles, cunning, craftiness, and deceit to trick people, to deceive them into falling for his schemes and devices. And last week we learned that the schemes and devices of the devil that are mentioned in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 are thoughts. Thoughts. The devil has to get access to our minds before he can access any other part of our lives. He has to use thoughts. We gave examples of politicians and lawmakers and people who commit terrible crimes and do terrible things to other people. We used those kind of situations as examples of people who are listening and submitting to the lies of the devil, and then their actions follow his lies and suggestions. And again, because these people don't have any truth in them, they don't have any word in them, they don't recognize that they're being lied to. They don't recognize that they're being deceived. They don't recognize that the enemy is using them to carry out his wicked plans and purposes in the earth. And the examples that we talked about are all extreme examples. They are things that are obviously evil and wicked. But do you know that the enemy doesn't always come to people? He doesn't always come to us with a direct contradiction of the truth. It's not always a 180 degree opposite contradiction to truth. He often, most times, just comes to us with a slight deviation off truth, but it's enough to completely change the course that God has set for our lives. And the enemy will deceive people and feed them lies about themselves so that they will start saying and doing things that are in direct contradiction to God's plan for their lives and set in motion the enemy's plan for their lives, which is ultimately to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it starts with a subtle deception. I recently read an article on CBN News about an actor named Keith Thibodeau, and I hope I'm saying that right. Keith Thibodeau. And he was an actor who played Little Ricky on the show I Love Lucy. You may remember that show from the 50s and 60s, I Love Lucy. It was one of the very few TV shows that my parents would let us watch. So this actor who played Little Ricky, Keith, he was a little boy who grew up in a Christian home, in a strong, loving Christian home. But somewhere along the way, his father had an affair with another woman and the family broke up. And Keith was devastated and he blamed God and he turned his back on God. He blamed God for the breakup of his family and the mess that his parents' marriage ended up in. And he turned his back on God. And then as a teenager, he got involved in the party scene and got into drugs and alcohol and started to dabble in the occult. And then voices began talking to him. Voices began talking to him, telling him that he was worthless, that nobody liked him, that you're a nobody. And they began telling him that he should just kill himself. And Keith says in this article that he almost committed suicide several times, but then he remembered something that his dad kept telling him years ago as a little boy. Keith, God has a purpose for your life. Keith, God has a purpose for your life. And those words came back to him at that point when he was about to take his own life, and he remembered that there was a God, and he called out to God and said, God, if you're real, help me. And God met him and he had an encounter with God and his life was turned around and he's now living for God and telling people about his experience to help other people that are in similar situations. But notice that voices were talking to him, telling him to kill himself. Voices. And these were not the voice of the good shepherd. These were voices from the stranger. And thank God that Keith knew just enough truth that God has a purpose for your life to run from these voices. The devil was trying to destroy his life by feeding him lies about himself. I read another story about a man named Walt Heyer. H-E-Y-E-R, Walt Heyer. And this man was a transgender male who transitioned to a female. And then he turned his life around after meeting Jesus and started living as a man again. And he actually transitioned back to a man. But Walt's story is awful and it's awesome at the same time. But he tells how as a four-year-old boy, his parents would take him to his grandmother's house, who was a seamstress, and she began to make dresses for him and put them on him and tell him how cute and pretty he looked. And Walt, as a four-year-old boy, so impressionable and so innocent, began thinking that he was cuter as a girl than a boy. Notice that the enemy started speaking to him even as a four-year-old boy, telling him that he was cuter as a girl than as a boy. And unfortunately, his parents found out what was going on. His parents found out that his grandmother was dressing him in girls' clothes, and his father got extremely angry at the grandmother, but he began to take it out on Walt, and he used to beat him with a hardwood plank. And not only that, but an uncle found out what was going on and saw Walt as easy prey and began sexually abusing him. And Walt describes that he was a broken boy before he was 10 years old. And he decided that he would be better off as a girl than as a boy. And see how the devil used a series of thoughts to ruin a child's life. You're cuter as a girl. People like you more as a girl. And then he would have been telling him, your father hates you. Your father hates the fact that you're a boy. Your uncle hates the fact that you're a boy. You're better off as a girl. And the devil would have been lying to his father, telling him that you can beat this out of him. You can beat this out of him, and perpetuating the psychological damage. And then the devil would have been lying to his uncle, telling him to abuse his nephew. And the devil used the abuse that Walt was experiencing to fortify the thoughts that he was already feeding to Walt, fortify those thoughts that he was already thinking that he should have been a girl, that he should have been a girl. And his life then followed a series of events that led him to reject the fact that God had created him perfect in his image as a male, and he transitioned to a female. And ultimately, his life would have been destroyed if he had continued listening to the lies of the devil. But praise God, he encountered the love of Jesus and turned his life around, and is now using his experience to have a voice in the transgender community for people experiencing similar situations. But again, all of that series of events and his life almost being completely ruined started off as thoughts whispered to a four-year-old boy. And I'll give you one more example of how the enemy uses subtle thoughts to destroy people's lives. You might have heard of a lady named Andrea Yates. This lady was a mother who drowned all five of her children in a bathtub. Now, you might think, how could someone ever do something like that? Well, let me tell you how. This lady, Andrea Yates, started listening to extreme religious teachings, and she started hearing voices telling her that the only way to save her children from hell and prevent Satan returning to earth was by killing her children and then her being executed for the crime. And so she listened to those voices over a period of many years. It wasn't just, you know, a thought that came to her one day and, oh, okay, I'll decide to act on that. They were a series of thoughts that started through this extreme religious teaching, and then it led to her listening to these voices and becoming mentally deranged by these voices. And sadly, acting on what those voices were telling her to do, and she killed her children. Now, praise God, all of those babies went straight into the arms of Jesus. But the reason she committed this horrendous act is because she was listening to the thoughts of the devil and thinking that they were her thoughts. And the devil took the opportunity that she had listened to those teachings to perpetuate the lies. He jumped on the opportunity to add fuel to the flames of the lies that she was already listening to and lead her down a road of destruction. And I don't give a lot of attention to stories like this, but the few times that I have heard of people who've committed horrendous crimes, they most often always say that they did it because the voices told me to do it. Or they think it's their idea, not realizing the liar is the one who is planting those thoughts. Now, I didn't tell you all these stories to depress you. It's awful, and it makes me sad thinking about these things too. But my point in telling you these things is that the enemy can steer people's lives down a road of destruction if he can get them listening to and believing his thoughts, his lies, and his deception. People who struggle with their sexuality or their gender, people who are suicidal or commit suicide, people who are under the bondage of depression or mental illness, people who are abusers of other people, people who become addicted to drugs or alcohol or other vices, that's not them. Those thoughts that they're listening to are not their thoughts. We are all made in the image of God. All of us, every person on this planet is made in the image of God. And God created us to have relationship with Him, to talk and walk with Him and listen to Him and speak to Him and have active, ongoing relationship with Him. But people who don't have any truth in them, who don't spend any time with God, who aren't familiar with the voice of the Good Shepherd, people who don't have any word in them to shine light on the lies of the devil, they think that those thoughts are their thoughts. They think that it's their thoughts, and they say, well, this is my truth. This is my reality, but it's not. They are listening to the lies and the deception of the devil, and they won't know the difference between the voice of the Good Shepherd and the voice of the stranger, and they don't run from the voice of a stranger because they don't have any truth in them to shine light on the lies. And I guarantee you that all of these people who deal with these kind of situations, they are being lied to and listening to the thoughts that the enemy is whispering to them. And guys, that's why we can't hate people who are struggling in these areas. We can't look down on people who do things that we think are wrong. They need our prayers because we have a common enemy. The enemy that is deceiving them will deceive us if we give him place. And so we need to recognize that it's the enemy that's behind their choices and their actions, and it's not them. And they need our prayers. They need our love, and they need our encouragement. Now, again, I am not telling you these things to depress you. Praise God that no one is out of the reach of God's redemption and grace. There is grace for every person who is struggling in these areas. And guys, if there's someone in your life who's struggling in any of these areas, there is hope for them. There's hope for them. And later we're going to talk about how you can pray for people in these situations and break the lies of the enemy over them. And I just want to encourage anybody who's listening who's lost someone to suicide or overdose or anything like that, I want you to know that God isn't looking for reasons to keep people out of heaven. He is not trying to come up with a list of reasons why they can't spend eternity with Him. He will chase people down until the very last moment to try and convince them to change their heart toward Him. And even if a person has died of overdose or suicide, that doesn't mean that they have died rejecting God. And I could tell you so many stories and testimonies of this exact thing, but I'm not going to do that now. But my point in telling you these things is that these kind of thoughts can come to all of us. Guys, we can all listen to the lies that the enemy is trying to tell us. We can all listen to the lies that he's trying to feed us, that we aren't healed, that we aren't blessed, that we don't have peace and provision in every area of our lives, that we aren't eligible for the things that Jesus broke his body and spilled his blood to pay for. He can come to all of us with thoughts about our sexuality, lustful thoughts, thoughts tempting us to sin. He comes to us with thoughts that we aren't made in God's image and aren't fearfully and wonderfully made. He comes to all of us and tries to tell us that we aren't important, aren't loved, aren't valuable, and that our lives don't have purpose. We can all listen to the lies of the enemy that lead us down the road to depression and mental illness. We can all listen to the lies of the enemy that influence our behavior and actions. And unless we have the Word of God planted deep in our hearts and we know and believe the love of God, we can start entertaining those thoughts and thinking they're our own thoughts. And when we give into and take the thoughts of the enemy and think in line with him, our actions and behavior will follow, and that's when we give the enemy an open door. Okay, so now we're going to talk a little bit about open doors. We have all probably heard the phrase that someone opened the door to the devil to explain an attack or a challenge that came along. And there's actually a lot of controversy about whether we can open the door to the devil. Now, based on what I've been studying and what I'm going to share with you now, I wouldn't call it an open door to the devil so much as I would call it cooperating with the devil. Because just like God's plan for your life is to prosper you, to give you a bright hope and a future, just like Jesus came that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows, the devil also has a plan for our lives, and his plan is to harm us, to make our future dark and hopeless, and to steal, kill, and destroy in any way that he can. But guys, just like God can't force anything on us, he can't even force salvation on us. He can't force people to get saved and to accept him. God needs us to cooperate with him for his plans and purposes to come to pass in our lives. And just like God can't force anything on us, neither can the devil. The devil can't force anything on us. He needs us to cooperate with him for his plans and purposes to come to pass in our lives. God has put certain spiritual laws in place that he designed to work for us, and they are called the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. These spiritual laws work all the time, every time, provided that the principles of the law are abided by. The spiritual law that we reap what we sow was designed by God to work for us. The law that we have what we say, God put that law into place because he designed it to work for us. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So there are two opposing laws that are in operation in the world. There is the law of the Spirit of life, and there is the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus is designed to work for us and to benefit us. But if we don't abide by the principles of the law of the Spirit of life, we expose ourselves to the law of sin and death. By default, that law of sin and death will start operating in our lives because we aren't activating the law of the Spirit of life. We aren't abiding by the principles of the law of the Spirit of life. Why is it called a law? A law is a natural or scientific, and I'm going to add spiritual, principle that always works if certain conditions are present. We know gravity as a natural law. Gravity is a law because it always works if certain conditions are present. The law of gravity is designed to stop us floating off the planet. But this law can either work for us or against us. The law of gravity will work against us if we jump off a building. And it's the same with spiritual laws. Spiritual laws are designed to work for us, and if we abide by them, the result is blessing, health, life, and peace. But those spiritual laws will also work against us if we misuse them, and the result is destruction and death. And the devil is well aware of what these spiritual laws are. Remember, a spirit has no power in the earth without a person cooperating with and submitting to him. Satan can't put anything on us. He can't put sickness and disease on us. He needs a body to cooperate with him. He can't put depression on us. He needs a body to cooperate with him. He can't make us sin. He can't make us commit suicide. He can't put fear on us. He can't put poverty on us. He can't put strife and division in our relationships. He has to have a physical body to cooperate with him. He still has to use thoughts, his lies, deception, and craftiness to deceive us into cooperating with him and activating these spiritual laws against ourselves. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death, but if we aren't abiding by the laws of the Spirit of life, we by default expose ourselves to the law of sin and death. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed through lack of knowledge." My people are stolen from, killed, and destroyed because of lack of knowledge. What is that lack of knowledge of? Lack of knowledge of the Word. Lack of knowledge of what God says, what God's done for them. But lack of knowledge is also ignorance. Ignorance. And where have we seen that word ignorant before? In 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, God tells us we are not to be ignorant of the devil's devices and schemes. We are not to have a lack of knowledge of the devil's devices and schemes. My people are destroyed because they are ignorant of how the enemy deceives them into cooperating with him and thereby activating the law of sin and death. So it's not so much that we've opened a door to the devil, but we have cooperated with him and activated the law of sin and death in our lives. So let's look at some of the ways that we can do this. Number one, through destructive emotions. Through destructive emotions. In Ephesians 4 verse 26 and 27, it says, "Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That word place is the Greek word topos, which means opportunity, power, and occasion for acting. The Bible calls opening the door to the devil, giving place to the devil. So it is possible to give opportunity, power, and occasion for acting to the devil, because if it wasn't, the Bible wouldn't tell us not to give it to him. And this particular verse tells us that holding on to anger gives him place. Now, people have often interpreted this scripture, and actually I've read commentaries that say that this scripture means righteous anger. Do not let your righteous anger with the devil subside. In other words, get angry at the devil and don't let it subside. Now, I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree that we should see the enemy as the problem and get a righteous anger towards him and not allow him to have place in our nation, in our lives, and all those things. But if you look at this whole passage in Ephesians 4 in context, God is warning us about the list of things that give place to the devil. And it says, put away lying and speak the truth with your neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And that word wrath also means irritation, indignation, exasperation. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. Put away from you all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. That word clamor means loud screaming and shouting, and malice or spite. Lying, anger, which includes unforgiveness, resentment, irritation, and exasperation, that is not let go. Okay, so lying and anger that is not let go, stealing, corrupt communication, which includes cursing, complaining, gossip, and death-filled words, bitterness, and offense, all give place to the devil because they are the very nature of the devil. So this passage of scripture tells us one of the ways that we give the devil place, or we open the door to the devil, and that is through bitterness, lying, anger, malice, wrath, clamor, and all kinds of destructive emotions. They give place to the devil. They give opportunity to the devil. They give power to the devil, and they give him a reason to act, a reason to act against us. James 3 verse 14 to 16 says, if you have bitter envying and strife, or self-seeking and pride in your hearts, do not boast about it and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not come from above, or in other words, it's not godly, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Every evil work. That's pretty telling. So if there is envying and strife, it opens the door to confusion and every evil work. So negative emotions, anger, jealousy, pride, strife, these negative emotions, they give place to the devil. They give the devil opportunity, occasion for acting, and power. So in other words, they open a door to the enemy. And we're going to finish off talking about this now, and I'm going to continue talking about this next week and give you some more examples of how medical science actually backs up what the Bible is talking about. So don't feel discouraged and don't feel down. I know it's a heavy topic, but what we're talking about is vital information, because again, if we can understand and recognize how the enemy gets access to us, how he gets power from us, how he gets to us through our thoughts, which lead to negative emotions, if we can recognize those things, then we can do something about them before he has opportunity and before he has power, and then he will never, ever be able to get an open door to us ever again. So it's good news. So just bear with me while we cover the heavy stuff, and then I promise you we're getting to the good news later. So make sure you join me again next week, where we continue to talk about how we can give the enemy an open door, open access to our lives. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week, and I'll catch you next week on Faith Talks. Thank you so much for being part of today's episode of Faith Talks. If you have any questions related to today's or any of my previous episodes, if you have a testimony you would like to share, or for a free copy of Confessions for Life, please email me at questions@faithtalks.com.au. For episode announcements and regular encouragement, you can now find Faith Talks with Emily Preston on Facebook and Instagram. Finally, if you know anyone who would benefit from today's or any of my previous teachings, please share this podcast with them and help them receive revelation of the truth that will make them free. Until next time, know that I am praying for you, and don't forget to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, and you will be blessed in everything that you do. God bless you.